I'm Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Hockey on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON20. You'll get 20% off your next order. In today's episode, we recap a busy weekend, digging deep on the waiver wire, lots of injury updates, matchups and DFS tips for Monday. But first, let's talk Vladimir Tarasenko. St. Louis Blues sniper is practicing and nearing a return to the Blues lineup. According to head coach Craig Berube, there's a good chance that Tarasenko will play on the Blues' upcoming road trip. This is from Berube. He's itching and ready to go. It's been a while for him and a long road. He's done a real good job of conditioning and doing what he had to do to be in shape and rehab everything. So the credit goes to him and the training staff on our hockey team. He's got to get more involved out there in some drills with some real body contact and competitiveness, so let's get there first and then we'll see. This comes after Tarasenko had practiced on the Blues' first line the other day, and so you can certainly start preparing for the return of Vladimir Tarasenko. Now, Tarasenko is coming off shoulder surgery. He had 10 points and 26 shots on goal in 10 games last season before he got shut down. Then he tried to give it a go in the playoffs, but had no points in four games and really wasn't the game-breaking talent that we know he can be. So he had shoulder surgery, and prior to that season of playing just 10 games, he had had five straight seasons with more than 30 goals. There aren't a lot of guys who can do that in the league, so Tarasenko is a rare talent. Now, when he does return, he's going to play first line, first power play unit role for the Blues. He's their game breaker. And if there's a player to be concerned about, maybe it's Jordan Kyrou. And not necessarily. Kyrou's been really good for them, obviously. But when the Blues are finally healthy, and that means Jaden Schwartz and, you know, Robert Thomas and Tyler Bozak, we don't necessarily know that Kyrou stays in the top six. All it would take is, you know, Mike Hoffman or Zach Sanford getting nudged up in there, and all of a sudden Kyrou could slide down to the third line. Not anything to start panicking about or feeling like you have to get rid of Jordan Kyrou. Just, you know, be aware that the return of Vladimir Tarasenko is going to have some ripple effect on that Blues lineup. And I mean, for the most part, for the good, but for individual players, there could be some fallout. All right, let's start through the Sunday and Saturday games. So Sunday, we've got Boston goes in to beat the Rangers 4-1 after a couple of tough losses against the Islanders and Rangers. Bruins center Charlie Coyle scored a pair of goals. He has three goals and an assist in the past four games. Bruins defenseman Charlie McAvoy had a goal and assist. He's got 4 points in the past five games. And Bruins right winger David Pastrnak had two assists. He has 18 points in 12 games this season. Just a fantastic player. Philadelphia, 3-0 shutout in Buffalo for the second straight day. Philadelphia left winger James Van Riemsdyk had a goal and assist. He has 20 points in his past 12 games. This has been a phenomenal season for Van Riemsdyk, and I keep saying that the percentages are way too high and they're about to regress. Someday that will come true, but right now, Van Riemsdyk continues on this really hot streak. Philadelphia right winger Joel Farabee had a couple of assists. He's got 12 points in his past nine games. He gets the same treatment as Van Riemsdyk. The percentages are really high for Farabee, but you have to give him full credit for the points he's put in the bank already. Flyers goaltender Carter Hart had a 28-save shutout. Much needed. He's been underwhelming, to say the least, this year. And even with that shutout, has an .899 save percentage in a dozen starts. Bigger and better things were expected of Carter Hart. For Buffalo, because Linus Ullmark was hurt, Jonas Johansson ended up starting in net. Had 35 saves on 38 shots. Certainly acquitted himself fine. But Buffalo has bigger problems than their goaltending right now. Columbus loses 3-1 at Nashville. Nashville goaltender Juuse Saros stopped 28 of 29 shots in the win. Now, Saros is another one who has struggled early. He has an .898 save percentage in a dozen starts. And there was a stretch where Pekka Rinne had sort of taken over, but Saros had a couple of quality starts on the weekend that might be helping him reclaim playing time in Nashville. Washington wins 3-2 at New Jersey. Left winger Jakub Vrana had a goal and assist for the Capitals, and right winger Tom Wilson had a couple of assists. Wilson's got 4 points in the past four games. Maybe the biggest news for Washington is that goaltender Ilya Samsonov returned to action, stopped 19 of 21 shots for the win, which is nothing great, but it was his first game since January 17th. So that's really good news for the Capitals, who kind of managed to at least tread water with Vitek Vanacek and Craig Anderson in net to this point. Pittsburgh falls flat, loses 2-0 at the Islanders with a terrible performance, frankly, from the Penguins. Islanders right winger Oliver Wahlstrom had a goal and assist. He's hardly playing, but Wahlstrom does have 5 points in the past four games. Maybe throw him on your radar. Islanders right winger Josh Bailey also had a couple of assists. And Islanders goaltender Ilya Sorokin had a 20-save shutout, like 20 shots. Goodness, Pittsburgh. And so Sorokin is now up to a 912 save percentage in his first five NHL starts, starting to round into form, I guess. His first start or two were a little rough, but he's coming around, and expectations are obviously really high for Sorokin, but he's also in a position where the Islanders don't need him to play a whole lot because Semyon Varlamov has been really good as the starter. Then Detroit goes and gets stomped in Chicago, 7-2 for Chicago. Left winger Alex DeBrincat, a goal and three assists. He's got 9 points during a six-game point streak. Right winger Patrick Kane, a goal and two assists, including his 400th career goal. And now we know Patrick Kane is good because he has 400 career goals. He's not some stiff with 399. So Kane has 17 points in his past nine games. He's having an outstanding season. Chicago winger Ryan Carpenter scored a couple of goals. He had 1 point on the season going into the game. Chicago rookie goaltender Kevin Lankinen stopped 44 of 46 shots. He has a 924 save percentage in 15 games. I don't think we can overstate how important Lankinen has been for Chicago's hopes this year. Coming into the season, their goaltending was a massive question mark, and Lankinen has been just a revelation, and so that makes Chicago far more competitive. Like, it's one thing to have DeBrincat and Kane scoring, and it's great that they are, but if they had a goaltender who was stopping 89% of the shots, which would not have been out of the question for Malcolm Subban and Colin Delia, there would be a different story to tell about Chicago. Anyway, from Sunday, Chicago's top line of Alex DeBrincat, Pius Suter, Patrick Kane, they were on the ice for 3 goals, 4 and none against. For Detroit, Anthony Mantha, Bobby Ryan, Alex Biega, Christian Juice, and Filip Hronek, all on the ice for 3 goals against during 5-on-5 play. It was a tough game for the Red Wings. We're covering everything you need to know about fantasy hockey, but what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski. It's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. All right, now let's go through Saturday's schedule in the National Hockey League. It was a busy night, 14 games on the schedule, so we've got a lot of notes. Go to Ottawa. Where the Senators lost 6-3 to Calgary. Calgary finally coming out of a slump, hopefully. For Ottawa, right winger Drake Batherson had a goal and assist. He's got 5 goals, 3 assists during a 5-game point streak. He got off to such a slow start in terms of point production, but Batherson was creating chances from the get-go this year. So the fact that they're finally starting to go in is sort of one of the more obvious regressions of the season. Ottawa defenseman Thomas Chabot also had a couple of assists. He's got 7 helpers in the past 5 games. For Calgary, center Michael Backlund had a goal and 2 assists. He had been in a bit of a slump. Calgary winger Andrew Mangiapane had a goal and assist. And now he hasn't gone on a real hot streak, but he's been a consistent contributor. Has 7 goals, 3 assists in the past 13 games for Calgary. Calgary left winger Matthew Tkachuk had a goal and assist. He's got 6 points in the past 5 games. And Johnny Hockey had a couple of helpers for the Flames. For Ottawa, defenseman Nikita Zaitsev and Thomas Chabot were both on the ice for 3 goals against and none for during 5-on-5 play. For Calgary, Andrew Mangiapane, Michael Backlund, both on the ice for 4 goals, 4 and 1 against at 5-on-5. And Johnny Gaudreau, Matthew Tkachuk, and Nikita Nesterov were on the ice for 3 goals, 4 and none against. That was a much-needed win for Calgary. Washington wins 5-2 at New Jersey. For New Jersey, captain Nico Hischier had a goal and assist and then left the game after taking a puck in the face. And so that was a double loss for the Devils there. Washington left winger Carl Hagelin had a couple of assists. Don't expect a whole lot of offense out of Hagelin anymore. And Washington defenseman John Carlson had a pair of assists. He's got 7 points in his past 5 games. Now, Saturday, Philadelphia beat Buffalo 3-0, just like they did on Sunday. Philadelphia center Sean Couturier had a goal and assist on Saturday. He's now got 10 points during a 6-game point streak running through Sunday's win. Philadelphia goaltender Brian Elliott had a 23-save shutout, leaving him now with a 931 save percentage in 8 games. For Columbus, they went into Nashville, lost 2-1 on Saturday. Nashville gets both their goals from defenseman Matthias Ekholm, who was activated from the injured list. And first two goals of the season for Ekholm. Obviously, the bigger news around Ekholm is whether or not he's going to get traded. And as I mentioned in the Sunday recap, goaltender UC Saros had a nice weekend. He stopped 29 of 30 shots for Nashville on Saturday. Toronto went into Edmonton, won 4-0. Mitch Marner led the attack for the Maple Leafs, had a goal and assist. He's got 9 points in his past five games. He's now third in the league in scoring behind Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Toronto center John Tavares added a couple of assists. He's been underperforming so far this season, and as you might expect, getting some criticism for it. But big win for the Maple Leafs. And Toronto goaltender Jack Campbell activated from the injured list and stopped all 30 shots to earn the shutout win. Certainly, if Campbell, and it's not entirely positive that he came out of that game healthy, but if he's okay, able to kind of hold the fort while Frederik Andersen is out, that would be huge for the Maple Leafs. Now for Edmonton, Connor McDavid and Darnell Nurse, both on the ice for three goals against during five-on-five play. Pittsburgh wins 4-3 at the Islanders in OT on Saturday. For the Islanders, center Brock Nelson had a goal and assist. For Pittsburgh, defenseman Chris Letang, two goals and an assist. He's got 7 points in the past five games. And Sidney Crosby had a goal and assist on Saturday. He has 10 points in the past 10 games, which is fine, but Crosby has not been generating kind of as much offense as you might expect from previous seasons. Now, his two-way game is really solid, but we're in fantasy hockey. We're not as concerned necessarily about two-way games. Carolina wins 4-3 in Florida in a shootout on Saturday. Panthers right winger Patrick Hornqvist had a goal and assist. For Carolina, defenseman Brett Pesce had a couple of assists, and he just kind of continues to chug along. He's got 12 points in the past 15 games. You don't expect that kind of offense from Pesce, but it continues. Tampa Bay laid the smackdown on Dallas in a Stanley Cup rematch. Tampa Bay wins 5-0 on Saturday. Anthony Cirelli, back and active in the Lightning lineup, had a goal and assist. He does have 4 points in his past four games. Steven Stamkos had a goal and assist for the Lightning. He's got 9 points in the past eight games. Tyler Johnson had a couple of assists for the Lightning. And defenseman Mikhail Sergachev had a couple of assists. Sergachev has 14 points in the past 14 games. And talk about an easy shutout. Andrei Vasilevsky had 18 saves for the shutout. He has a .938 save percentage and 16 starts, so he's having a great year. But that 18 save shutout, that kind of speaks to what's going on in Dallas right now, is they can't create any offense. They're going to have to make some changes there structurally or with the roster or something, because they do not have enough talent. I mean, Alexander Radulov is out. Tyler Seguin's out. There are some reasons for this, but it's pretty ugly to get shut out on an 18 save performance. For Saturday, Detroit beat Chicago 5-3. For Chicago, defenseman Adam Boqvist had a couple of assists. He's got 5 points in his past five games. I had him kind of coming into the season as a bit of a deep sleeper, and then he got hurt for a while. But now he's back in the lineup and seems to be worth having at least on your radar if you're looking for points from the blue line. For Detroit, left winger Evgeny Svechnikov had a goal and assist. So he played both games this weekend. He has two goals and an assist, which is a real pleasant surprise for Detroit. I mean, they don't get a whole lot of pleasant surprises on the Red Wings. But Svechnikov, who might be a bit of a post-hype former first-round pick, who, you know, if he can contribute a little bit of offense for them, they'll take it. Also for Detroit, center Franz Nielsen had a goal and assist. Recently waived Franz Nielsen. Detroit center Robbie Fabry had a couple of assists. He's got 7 points in his past nine games. And Detroit center Valtteri Filppula had a couple of assists. Detroit defenseman Mark Stahl on the ice for 3 goals for and none against. Now, in the most aesthetically pleasing game of Saturday night, the Los Angeles Kings wearing reverse retro purples going up against the Minnesota Wild, where the Wild were wearing vintage North Star whites. So the Wild ended up winning 4-3 in overtime. Matt Dumba scored the winning goal in the final second of overtime. If you see the replay, you can see Dustin Brown starts to jump into the attack for whatever reason. There's like 2 seconds left in the game, and the puck goes the other way, and there's Matthew Dumba all alone in front of the net. But so Dumba with a goal and assist, has 4 points in his past five games. Minnesota winger Jordan Greenway added a couple of assists for LA. Winger Adrian Kempe had a goal and assist. Defenseman Drew Doughty had a goal and assist. Doughty's got 10 points in his past nine games. And Kings center Anze Kopitar had a couple of assists. He has 23 points in 20 games this season. Now, he's only scored four goals, but really productive season for Kopitar. For Minnesota, defense tandem of Jared Spurgeon and Ryan Suter, they were on for 3 goals, 4 and none against during 5-on-5 play, which was all of Minnesota's goals in regulation. Colorado went into Arizona, won 6-2. Jonas Donskoy had a goal and assist for the Avalanche. Andre Burakovsky had a couple of assists. Avalanche right winger Mikko Rantanen had a couple of assists. He's got 8 points in the past 6 games. And Colorado defenseman Samuel Girard had a couple of assists. He's got 7 points in the past 8 games. St. Louis, in the wildest game of the night, won 7-6 in San Jose. Sharks winger Timo Meier had 2 goals and an assist. He's been underwhelming so far this season, so hopefully that's a start of some good things for him. Sharks left winger Evander Kane scored a pair of goals. He's got 10 points in the past 10 games. San Jose right winger Kevin LeBanc had a goal and assist. He's got 6 points in the past 5. Sharks center Logan Couture, goal and assist. He has 8 goals, 4 assists in the past 10 games. And Sharks defenseman Brent Burns added a couple of helpers. For St. Louis, leading the way offensively was Marco Scandella. The defenseman had 2 goals and an assist, his first 3 points of the season. St. Louis left winger Zach Sanford added a goal and assist. And St. Louis center Ryan O'Reilly had a goal and assist. He's got 5 points in the past 4 games. Now, for St. Louis, Marco Scandella and Vince Dunn were both on the ice for 3 goals, 4 and none against, while Blues defenseman Nico Mikkola was on the ice for 3 goals against. Vegas went into Anaheim, won 3-2 in overtime on Saturday. Ricard Raquel with a goal and assist for the Ducks. There's probably no more likely candidate for in-season regression than Raquel, who's generating a lot of shots this year, but having a really hard time finding the net. Vegas center William Karlsson scored a couple of goals. He's got 6 points in the past 4 games. Vegas defenseman Alex Petrangelo had a goal and assist. He's got 4 points in the past 3 games. And Vegas defenseman Shea Theodore had a couple of assists. He's got 12 points in his past 12 games. And then Montreal lost 2-1 in overtime at Winnipeg. For the Jets, left winger Nikolai Ehlers had a goal and assist. He's got 10 points in the past 9 games. And Jets goaltender Connor Hellebuck stopped 40 of 41 shots during the W. He has a .918 save percentage in 16 starts, which is fine. He's not quite at Vezina level yet, but playing well enough to keep the Jets competitive and against a Montreal team that continues to slump. So now, every episode, I recommend one player that is owned in 5% or fewer of Yahoo leagues. Maybe a player that you should add right away, or simply heads up, keep an eye on this player, put him on your radar. And today, we're going to go with Pittsburgh Penguins left winger Jared McCann, who's returned from injury and moves into the spot opened up by the injury to Jason Zucker, and that is skating on the left side with Evgeny Malkin. Now, you can debate whether or not that's a valuable spot right now, considering Malkin's production this year, but McCann has 6 points in 13 games this season, but he also played a season-high 19.05 on Saturday. And as much as McCann has earned a pretty decent rep as a solid two-way player in the Pittsburgh the past couple of years, he's also noted for having a great shot. So maybe if he gets into a bit more of an offensive role alongside Malkin and usually Brian Rust, sometimes Kasperi Kapanen, the Penguins have had to do a lot of shuffling lately. But, you know, maybe there's an offensive role that could pay off for Jared McCann, and he's owned in just 3% of Yahoo leagues. Here are a couple more waiver pickups to consider for this week. Pavel Zacha, the Devils center, who shifts out to wing with Nico Hischier back. Now, Hischier could be out again, so Zacha might get moved back to center. But he's on a 10-game point streak. Like, talk about the least likely 10-game point streaks. Zacha's been a solid third and fourth line center to this point in his career, but hasn't really displayed a whole lot of offense. And now he has 12 points during this 10-game streak. And, you know, maybe you could start to expect a little bit more if you're the Devils and somebody who wants to go scoop up Pavel Zacha on the waiver wire. Also, Kevin LeBanc for the Sharks, 6 points in the past 5 games, widely available. And Senators, winger Drake Batherson, who talked about, has 5 goals and 3 assists during a 5-game point streak. And as I mentioned, you know, Batherson was creating chances when he was playing on the top line and they just weren't going in. Well, they moved him down the lineup and he and Tim Stützle are basically taking advantage of matchups on the third line. And the results are paying off here. Now off from the fantasy waiver wire to the real waiver wire, Florida Panthers have put right winger Brett Conley on waivers. And Conley's been a solid 5-on-5 scorer. He has 71 goals in the past four seasons, and 61 of them have come at even strength. But this season, he just has 3 points in 16 games. That's one goal and two assists. Has been mostly relegated to the fourth line, which is not a great return on a guy who's giving you a $3.5 million cap hit. And now this is, you know, part of the problem that occurs when, you know, one front office era signs you to a multi-year free agent contract, and then they get bounced, and then new management comes in, and maybe they're not as, you know, high on Brett Conley, and they're nudging Joel Quenneville to, yeah, we're not interested in Brett Conley playing significant minutes for us, and now you're stuck here. You've got Conley with a $3.5 million cap hit, runs for two more seasons after this one, and, you know, as much as there might be teams who would be interested in adding Brett Conley as a guy who could play on their third line, I don't think a lot of teams are going to line up to take on that contract. And no, it doesn't have to be a lot of teams. Only one team has to do it. But my guess is that he's going to clear those waivers, and then you can see whether or not the Panthers can find a deal to unload Conley if they've really had enough of him at this point. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have a bunch of great flavors. They've added six new ones, and that's caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. That's in addition to their 12 original flavors. And the great thing about Built Bar is they're healthy, but they're also covered in dark chocolate. So it makes them really easy to eat. And, you know, for me, I needed to lose some quarantine pounds. So I've been at an outdoor boot camp for the past couple of months, and I've had some success, but I leaned right into it, making Built Bar part of my post-workout routine. It gives my muscles the protein boost they need. And so go to BuiltBar.com, and you can use promo code LOCKEDON20. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, BuiltBar.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football is over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Major League Baseball is coming around the corner. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV. Suppose you could have got in on the Golden Globes on Sunday. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get the upper hand in your fantasy league with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. I'm going to give you tips, insights, and analysis for season-long Dynasty and DFS leagues, breaking down all the stats and information to keep you ahead of the competition. Subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast wherever you get podcasts. And send me your questions. I'm at @ByScottCullen on Twitter. The show is at @LO_FantasyNHL on Twitter. If you want to fire off an email, send it to LockedOnFantasyHockey@gmail.com. So before we get into the Monday schedule, let's rip through some injury updates over the weekend. As I've mentioned already, Devils center Nico Hischier took a puck in the face Saturday, did not play Sunday. Certainly you hope it's not too serious, but the Devils, they were much better with Hischier in the lineup. And they haven't had him in the lineup a whole lot this year, but they desperately need him. Avalanche defenseman Cale Makar missed Saturday's win at Arizona with an upper body injury. Now, the Avalanche, yes, they could use Cale Makar because he might be the best defenseman in the league, but they're actually a team who is kind of built to withstand that kind of absence. Between having Devon Taves and Samuel Girard, they have other guys who can move the puck back there to keep things rolling in the right direction. Also, Avalanche right winger Matt Calvert has an upper body injury. Arizona right winger Connor Garland, who's having a fantastic breakout season, he has a lower body injury, which is a huge deal for the Coyotes. A lesser deal for the Coyotes is that John Hayden also has a lower body injury. For Detroit, Dylan Larkin out with an upper body injury, and Robbie Fabry, who played Saturday, but he also missed Sunday's game against Chicago with an undisclosed injury. So that's the Red Wings lineup is lean to begin with. You take out Larkin and Fabry, it's looking pretty rough. Washington center, Evgeny Kuznetsov, out with an upper body injury. So he missed Sunday's game. Detroit defenseman Patrick Nemeth has landed on the COVID-19 list. Devils defenseman Ryan Murray has an upper body injury. Penguin center Mark Jankowski out with an upper body injury. And Blues center Jacob De La Rose has a lower body injury. All right, that taken care of. Let's take a look at the Monday action on betonline.ag. First game we've got Calgary, minus 161 at Ottawa. And the Flames had been playing so poorly before rallying to win on Sunday that I don't think you can be terribly confident in them, even against a team as bad as Ottawa. And so the odds at minus 161, that's a little bit more than I would like to pay. My model has Calgary about minus 152. And so I think that's probably one I would just avoid because I can't trust either one of those teams. Florida, minus 102 against Carolina. Maybe there's some value to be had as Florida is a slight underdog if Chris Driedger's in net, because he's been playing really well. But again, this is a game that's probably really close and the odds are really close, and it's probably a game that I would steer clear of altogether. Now, Winnipeg, minus 127 at home against Vancouver. I think I like that one. And Winnipeg seems to be a team that I've been a little higher on in the past few weeks than the odds makers. And so we'll roll with it. Vancouver is just, they've been awful for the most part. And I think Winnipeg has enough weapons that at home they should be favored. And I would favor them by more than the minus 127. I'd have them about minus 150. Anaheim, plus 128 at home against St. Louis. I don't love the Ducks, certainly, the way they've been playing. But I don't want to take St. Louis as a favorite, given all the injuries that the Blues have right now. It's a long list of significant players, forwards in their top nine and Colton Parayko on the blue line. So I would steer clear of St. Louis. Maybe if the number slides up a little bit, I might consider Anaheim. Edmonton, minus 104 against Toronto. I think this is a game I don't see a whole ton of value. My model has Edmonton minus 107. So I don't think there's a real advantage to be gained. Certainly Edmonton is going to look to perform better than they did the other night, because they came out pretty flat against Toronto on Hockey Night in Canada. Minnesota, plus 133 at Vegas. Now, I have Vegas favored, but not by that much, maybe by 119. And Minnesota, they've really come along this season, starting to play better. Obviously, the return of Matt Zuccarello has made a big difference for them, and the results have started to bear that out. Minnesota was pretty low in terms of my model for a good portion of the season, but in the past couple of weeks, it started to climb up, and now suddenly I like their side a little bit more against a team as good as Vegas. Now, the last game we've got is San Jose against Colorado. I couldn't pay the premium here on Colorado. Colorado is minus 210. So if you wanted San Jose plus 188, you're feeling lucky. Maybe you try that. But my model would have Colorado minus 161. Now, again, maybe Cale Makar plays and things start to look better for Colorado. But without Cale Makar, I could not pull the trigger on the Avalanche in that game. So thanks to betonline.ag for those odds. Now let's roll through Monday's DFS, looking for some value plays. Skaters under $5,000 on DraftKings. Now we'll start with Vegas center William Karlsson, who's $4,900 against Minnesota. Karlsson has got 6 points in the past four games, and he gets significant minutes there for the Golden Knights. Toronto, right winger William Nylander's $4,900 at Edmonton. You don't always know what you're getting out of William Nylander. But I think, by and large, he's a skilled offensive player who is recognizing that, especially when he starts getting called out for it, that he can be a difference maker for this team. And so getting him at that price against Edmonton's not too bad. Minnesota left winger Kirill Kaprizov, just $4,200 at Vegas. And while Matt Zuccarello has taken off since coming back or joining the lineup late in the season here, Kirill Kaprizov has sort of thrived on the other wing of that line. And so getting him at $4,200 is a real nice price. One of the more popular players on this podcast, Ottawa winger Drake Batherson, is $3,900 against Calgary. He has 5 goals and 3 assists during a 5-game point streak. see if he can make it six against a Flames team that isn't exactly a lockdown performance. Toronto, go for Joe Thornton. Why not? $3,600 at Edmonton. And so we've got quite a few forward options there of guys who are ranging in the $3,000 and $4,000 range that you could put in your lineup and then you get to spend a little bit more in some of the other spots. Get yourself a more marquee player at the top of your roster. And then on defense, we got Sam Girard for the Avalanche, $3,400 at San Jose. Pretty productive player. And, you know, even though he's not as sort of highly regarded as Makar and Taves on the Avalanche blue line, he also comes a whole lot cheaper on DraftKings. And Carolina defenseman Brett Pesce, $4,000 at Florida. As I said, Pesce is not a huge scorer, but he's on a pretty good run with 12 points in the past 15 games. He will block shots, and so there's some fantasy value from Brett Pesce that I'm not sure we would have expected. And if you're really feeling lucky, how about Sharks defenseman Erik Karlsson, $4,200 against Colorado. And Karlsson hasn't had a good season by any stretch, but he came back from injury, had six shots on goal the other night, and you know maybe that's searching a little too hard for a silver lining, but I'm looking at that and thinking that there's still some hope for Erik Karlsson. And if you're looking for a bargain in net, obviously you can find, you know, better options that cost more. But Anaheim goaltender John Gibson, $7,300 against St. Louis. The Blues, given all their injuries, maybe not the most potent offense. And if Gibson's on his game, he could deliver really good value for you. So that will do it for today. Enjoy the games. You can check out my work on The Athletic at scottcullenhockey.substack.com. Also, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. So find these podcasts, subscribe, maybe drop in a 5-star rating on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, radio.com, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis.